Acordando.
Huzzah. So we knew we would have a small group tonight. Hi, I'm Dr. Tracy Latz. I'm an integrative psychiatrist. I have a podcast, Latz Talk, sort of a play on Let's Talk, but LATZ, and also have another podcast with my co-author, Dr. Marion Ross, which is Shift Your Life, Unleash Your Inner Power to Create. And this is also through the Mooresville meetup. And I've had in-person meetups before pandemic hit and some afterwards with a small group. And then everyone got very busy. And so I started doing it more once a month here via Zoom with some occasional in-person meetings. But this is a very special practice. We are in the holiday season, and no matter what your spiritual belief or practice is, this is a very powerful time of year, and it's considered sacred around this time. Most holidays and different traditions or spiritual focus is in this time of the year, right after the winter solstice. We've gone through the darkest night, longest, darkest night, and the shortest day, and we are now coming out of that. So it is the perfect time to be mindful of going within. And it's a busy time of year. I'm just as busy as anyone else. I've done the whole decorating scene. Just like everyone else, and it's very busy. I have not been meeting up here as frequently as I would like. My daughter, after much planning and prep, just got married this past week, or actually this past month, right before Thanksgiving. So it's been a very busy time for my family, but very joyful, and it was an amazing, joyful event. But now I am focused on the new year. During this time of year, if you pay attention to the skies, we have Venus, we have Orion, we have the Pleiades, very easily seen. And Venus is, it's the time of year where that compassionate space, along with the Pleiades, are closest to the planet. So it calls to us during this time where everything has gone within. We should take our cues from nature because the trees have dropped their leaves and they have gone within. They haven't died. They are going within to prepare for new creation in the spring cycle. There is a practice that, has become very superficial, and we were just talking about it here, where a lot of people make New Year resolutions and a lot of people give it no thought whatsoever. And usually they're at a party or they're at work and someone says, "Hey, what's your New Year's resolution?" And people just go, "Ah, you know," and they just say it's this or that. Very frequently, the top three is I'm going to lose 10 pounds, maybe 20. I'm going to go to the gym, join a gym and go to it. The gym memberships go up right now. And then people drop off gym memberships usually by about March. And, you know, people make all of these plans to change, but they have not really gone within and connected because this time of year, all of the planetary astrological alignment is such that we really are called to be in our heart, to open that up, and to then embody the essence of who we truly are, our soul, our oversoul, our true essence, our higher self. All of that we can much more readily access during this quiet time of this season, right after we go through winter solstice. This is called Yuletide. And there is a very annoying song, a holiday song that makes a reference to this time of year. And most people think this is the nuttiest song, you know. And I'm not talking about Wham's song now. I'm talking about going back to songs that have been out for forever. I'm referring to the 12 Days of Christmas. And most people believe these are the 12 days leading up to Christmas. That's actually not true. It starts the evening of the 25th. And so when the song is talking about on the first day of Christmas, my true love brings to me, and it's the partridge in a pear tree. And then each day, this true love, and people start thinking, who is this true love? Do they really like this person? Who wants all these lords a-leaping and ladies milking cows and all of the drummers and everything? But what it really is making reference to is connecting with our own beloved, which is our own higher self, our own soul, our own connection to God, source, universe, whatever you understand, that which is bigger than us to be. So it works in any spiritual tradition and is not solely Christian. In fact, it probably predates formal Christianity. This practice is where in the evening, where it's quiet, people are not busy. You have less electromagnetic stuff going on, less EMF. Nowadays, we still have a lot, but less than in the height of everyone's offices buzzing and doing. So it's a time where you can become very quiet in the evening and set up a space that you can keep somewhat sacred to you. And sacred is whatever that means to you, whatever opens your heart. It could be spiritual, religious, it could be crystals, it could be nature, it could be loved ones, whatever, something in the space. And it doesn't have to be a big space. It could be a counter, it could be a windowsill, it could be a room if you've set up a whole room to do that. But just a space where you are used to going into and being quiet. Now, I have a dear friend who would say, ring a bell to break the spell, which could be a small bell. It could be a tsingtas, one of the little symbols. It is to clear the space. Now, you can do that with sound, a bell. You can do it with breath. You can do it with lighting a candle. But it begins to bring light into the space and sort of clear it from any negativity that may have been there, any interfering emotions, things of that nature. Just sort of clear the space because now we're setting our intention to go within and sort of be introspective. Have a meditative period of time where you think, where am I? Where am I in my life? And not going back and beating yourself up. That's not what this is about. It really is sort of looking back and sort of being aware we have a timeline of us emanating in this body here in this lifetime and sort of sort, where am I? Am I where I want to be? What would I like to shift? What would I like to do differently with my mind, with my body, with myself spiritually, with my connections, with my closest connection, my loved one, lover, my children, my spouse, my parents, my family? What would I like to do with my connections with friends? You know, have I let some go away? Have I now got friends around me that I realize really may not be my friends or may no longer be my tribe because we've kind of grown apart? How do I begin to set up a a compassionate look. Again, not beating yourself up and going, gosh, I don't have this. It's not looking at the glasses half empty. It's being aware of, wow, look what I've learned on this journey. Even when we have negative experiences, to sort of say, how has this experience brought something to me to understand who I'm not, who I don't want to be, or what I would like to shift from what I've learned? Once you move from this space, you then go into a meditation. Each night, and it's 12 nights in a row, starting Christmas night, or December 25th, and then the 26th, 27th, 28th, etc., for 12 nights. When you do that, you may have done some introspection, then you set that aside because now the timing is ripe to really open up and go into not a guided meditation, but a quiet meditation where you begin to listen to that inner still small voice and ask, what's the most important thing for me to know? And what you'll find is suddenly information. You may suddenly be aware of something or see a symbol or an image, or you may feel, you may have that gut feeling because we all have our own spiritual language. We can have clear voyance where we see, clear seeing, or clear audience where we have clear hearing, where we may be told in a meditation, be aware of this, but we don't see it. And that's okay. It's not that you're doing something wrong. And some people are clair sentient, where you will have clear feeling. You won't see it or hear it, but you'll suddenly have a knowing. Go with whatever comes up, because what you'll start finding is each night something will come up in a different sector of your life. One night it may be about your personal relationship with your spouse or your intimate partner. The next night it may have something to do with your work, your business. The next it may have something to do with, your playfulness, or lack of that, hobbies. It will just naturally unfold each night. And then what you do after you take this time, and you don't have to sit there for hours. It can come to you in as short as 8 minutes. It may last longer. Some people may, in fact, be sitting for an hour with it each of these nights. You don't have to be obsessive about it and set the timer. But when you get the information coming through, journal. If you like journaling, some people like writing things out. Some people don't because then they start feeling or thinking, I'm never going to read this. And then they get critical about it. Some people like to draw. I often will encourage people to get a journal where, when you open it on one page, it's a blank page so that you could go with markers or colored pencils and maybe sketch or just let colors be there to reflect emotions or whatever came up. And then the other side will have lines where you can write and you don't have to write prose. No, this isn't for anyone else to read, it's for you to sort of process this unfoldment. And you'll find more and more will unfold for you each night. So you could just make notes about what came up. When you do this, it has a snowball effect. What you are in fact doing, instead of doing that real quick New Year's resolution just in my head and my ego, yeah, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to do these things. What you're doing is taking the time to enter the space where you open your heart and you enter into that metaphysical space where you can much more readily hear your inner still small voice speaking to you. And that is your higher self, your soul. Some people will say it's their guide. But it is so powerful because the second night you may begin to get more information, where after the first night you may say, oh, well, with this is what I want to, with my most heartfelt desire, energize into the new year. Well, the second night, you're going to get more information, perhaps in a different sector in your life. So, what you can do is now combine those two. It may be so different, you may say, yes, what I'm going to do is set my intention, my most heartfelt intention, not out of fear, not out of anger, and I don't even have to know how it's going to manifest. I will just impulse the ethers out there. I will have a most heartfelt desire to connect or be open to a relationship. And then it may be, expand this creativity at work if something came up with work, or begin to teach this class that has to do with that or the other. You have no idea what's going to unfold. And that's the beauty of this. But it unfolds bigger and bigger and bigger, much like that annoying song that starts out with a bird, the partridge in a pear tree, and suddenly you end up with all these characters milking and jumping and drumming and leaping. It's mind-boggling, but so is this practice. When I do this, I enjoy doing intuitive art. I've spoken about intuitive art before, and just kind of to show you, when I get the information, I will receive information and make notes, but then I stay in the energy of the meditation. And when you meditate with regularity, you know what I mean. You can feel the energy of whatever it is you've tapped into. And so I go to the art table and close my eyes and have paper out, and I just begin to grab with eyes closed and just then move chalks on the edge of the chalk, not like a drawing. And you have no idea what's going to come out. So one year I did it, and this was the first night. And the only thing that was very, very clear was this figure here, and everything else was vague. Now, the interesting thing about this is it changes over time. So a little bit more has come out. But that first night, I had things that I'd heard in the meditation, but it was clear to me there was a lot I couldn't see yet. Second night of the meditative practice, suddenly there's a lot more coming out. There's movement, there's light, there's a lot more information reaching out to me. There's sound, there's breathing, there's the symbology in here. Through intra art, everything means something. The colors mean something. So it's being energized now by second night. By third night, you think, oh, it's going to get clearer still. Not so. It got a little muddied, but there's so much more movement. So now what I am setting intention to manifest and writing out is now beginning to move. And so it's beginning to connect with what's going on out here. Now, the interesting thing is, some people say this practice actually helps with manifesting each month of the year. So the first night may be, in fact, linked to sort of a vortex of energy that sort of unfolds in the first month of that year. Now, interestingly, this year that I did this, which was not from this past year, it was the year before. I had just at the start of that year was retiring from work with the state that I was doing, and was just doing my outpatient work, and was trying to sort out what else I wanted to manifest, which may be why it was sort of vague there. So here it is, by the fourth night of Christmas, there is powerful shifting movement going on. And a lot of red, which is interesting because my son, a lot of passion. My son got married in April that year, and his now wife, her wedding dress was red. So very, very interesting. And of course, these things unfold on their own. So the fifth night of Christmas, I was like, what the heck is this? It got very fragmented, lots of shifting energy in this green figure that seems to reflect healing needed. Little did I know, I was going to, in the first few days of May that year, I fell and broke my arm. And it did require healing. So it kind of reset a lot of what I couldn't do and I could do. You'd be surprised how much you use one arm. So this was now the sixth night. So the sixth night, I am sort of re-establishing things. This now is June, right? Sixth night. So you can sort of look at how energies will work with you with your creations. And of course, you have no idea what's going to unfold. That's why I love to do the artwork on, again, eyes closed. So while everything seems to be in the vortex again, not sure what's going on, but seventh night. This I was intrigued by because now a lot's going along on. And this was in fact so. I was wanting to change around some things that I was teaching, but we all said we're starting to plan my daughter's wedding or talk about it. And boy, so many faces, so many characters that emerged out of this, and a whole procession of beings really wanting to work with me doing some stuff, some personal things, and planning some other ventures. Eighth night. Things settling down and getting lots of structure, which really was the case. I decided to start a little part-time position helping out while I was planning some trips and some other things at my daughter's wedding. Ninth night, again, things just changing. And the beauty of this is for you to record it and look back at it in a way that you're likely to do it. 10th night, we were looking for the venue for my daughter's wedding. So we had a lot of light, joyful stuff because by 10th night, that would be October. And by November, 11th night, boom, we actually found the venue. Little did I know. And we've got all this stuff going on, lots of energy, and you begin to see the energy of the bride and groom coming up in the middle. And interestingly, they ended up getting married in a year later, just this past November. And then 12th night, a lot of love coming in, all the pink, lots of energy, lots of, geometry, which is interesting because I had no idea that I was going to start doing some work with the biogeometry people. So, a powerful way to manifest. You know, we now know in quantum physics, you know, when I was growing up with my pet pterodactyl many, many moons ago. You know, when we, and I was a biologist, when we were studying science and we talked about the nucleus and the atom, you know, and all of the things, you know, it really was like this physical thing and this physical, and it was all physical and they couldn't explain. Yeah, there had to be some space in there because these things are moving around. Now in quantum physics, we actually know that an atom, this matter, this physical stuff all around us, very little of it is physical. That only 4 to 6% of an atom is physicality, particle. The rest of it is space. And that space seems to be affected by us, by our consciousness, by our thoughts. So, I thought it was very important because we have this window of this very powerful time, the 12 nights, to powerfully energize and co-create for us, which ends up helping create for the world, something different than what's going on now. And I think very few people right now are excited about where we are in the world globally. So politics aside, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, I think we could all assist with creating something a bit more beautiful than what is going on globally here in the States, which is where I am, or wherever, or in our homes. So my gift to you during this season is to enlighten you and encourage you to play with this, to try it. What do you have to lose? You will find you will get so much out of this if you just take the time. You will get so much out of this if you just take the time to go within and not out of fear, not out of anger. You know, we have lots of tools we've taught in these sessions. We have on YouTube, we have on our podcasts, different ways to transform anger or fear. And, you know, being a psychiatrist, if you are overwhelmed with dark thoughts and negativity, then go speak with someone or, you know, see if you need assistance in various ways. But this is powerful. We can create from this inner Christmas and create something more beautiful in our bodies, something more beautiful in our relationships, something more beautiful in our cultures, something a little more balanced, compassion for self and compassion for others in the world. And that doesn't mean we go around and can't tell someone no. We can tell someone no with compassion. We can disagree with someone with compassion and respect and sort of say, you know, I hear what you're saying. You know, I disagree. And that's okay, you know, to each their own. We all have the right to our own thoughts and to express ourselves. And I hope that maybe you'll try this practice. It just might shift your life and shift our world. And that's what I'm here for. I figure I'm 62. I guess I'll have 37 more years before I'll be done with trying to help shift as much as possible for people, for the world, and consciousness, because we're all in this together and we are truly walking each other home. Anyway, I wish the brightest of blessings to you all, regardless of how you celebrate or don't celebrate this season of light or this Yuletide. But feel free to send questions in here. I will post this on YouTube. And I look forward to hearing about your creations.